Father, I pray you'd move in the word like I felt you in worship today. And I know people's lives were being impacted because your presence is here. And you are your word. And you've given me some stuff, and I don't want to mess it up. Help me deliver it so well that we're increased and equipped. And I do my job and my responsibility this morning. And you'd be glorified with that in Jesus' name. Amen. The finale, but not the end. The Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, it's the three-in-one series, right? Jesus said he had to go. Why? To send his Spirit to empower us, to fill us. It was Jesus, and I have to take off. I rose from the dead, but I got to go. Why, man? It's awesome to have you here. Let's build some strong. No. I got to go. Why? Because you need what's inside of me, right? That's why he left. And that's why he said we needed him. God has various ways and means that his Spirit works in us, right? We read about some testimonies, other people's lives, Holy Spirit working in us. Some of God's greatest gifts are at the end of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. You know, as we remember last week, you probably remember every word I ever say. I'm sure you do. You're like, Pastor, we know. But just in case you forget, the most excellent gift yet was actually unconditional love. He listed all, you can do this, and you can do this, and this is signs and wonders and miracles. He said, but all that is kind of compared to this. He said, but yet the greatest thing is love. So 1 Corinthians naturally be next, right? God tells us what love looks like, that we'll need his Spirit to receive love and salvation and give love away. It's the same Holy Spirit. And so I started thinking about that. His Spirit enables us to give real love away. I should probably talk about love a little bit. You know? And then I remembered something. I remembered something that Miley said just last week. I'm cutting through my notes because I just want to, before I do my pit stop. Miley and I had a conversation, my friend Miley. My friend Miley said, you know, Pastor Sean, this is seeking season. And I said, yeah, I was thinking about going through 1 Corinthians and getting through that. She goes, you know, I've heard you say this before. I believe it's true. If people are seeking and they'll read it for themselves, the Holy Spirit will show them something. If people are really seeking God during the season, then they'll read that book themselves. You won't have to teach it. They'll get something from God. I said, Miley, you're absolutely 100% right. I'm going to skip right through it. Perfect, Miley. Except for this verse, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 2. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love for others, growing out of God's love for me, then I have become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I have only become just an annoying distraction. Look at someone at your left. Say, don't be a distraction. Look to your right. Say, don't be a distraction. If I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and I have all faith, that's a lot of stuff. Wouldn't you like all knowledge, all mysteries, and all faith? Like, yeah, I know everything. And I have faith to do anything. That's a pretty good gig, right? I'd like to be in that zone. It sounds good, right? If I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, that's crazy faith, right? So you can have gifts and be used and end up still being nothing. And if I have all faith that can remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I don't say this, if I don't have love, I am nothing. Let that sit deep because all the accolades at the end are going to matter nothing. They're going to mean nothing. If you don't have that received in your life and it's something you're actively trying to get better at giving away, then you have nothing. That should wake us up to do something. It should wake us up, right? But do not have love, I am nothing. Gifts, ministry, serving without love is fruitless and only a distraction. That's the word of God. I'm not preaching even yet. All of it's a distraction if you don't have that. I pray the Holy Spirit exposes God's love, Jesus, God's love. I pray if you don't have Jesus exposed to you, I pray his Spirit exposes Jesus to you because that's love. the greatest love ever given, right? So let's examine the various fruits of that love. Some side notes. You know, I didn't go through the love chapter. I believe you should. Say, Miley is correct. Yeah. So we'll just move on. We'll do a little Ephesians, a little Romans, and then dive into Galatians. 3 and 1, the finale, Romans 12, 6 through 11, and the Amplified. And all scriptures should be almost amplified. I might have one. Since we have gifts that differ, and different gifts, I have none of the gifts my wife has. She actually has all the gifts. When I look at her, I go, wow, she's super gifted. And what do I have? Well, I'm good with puppies, you know. She's got gifts. But we have different gifts. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us, say each of us, each of us. Each of us is to use them. How? Accordingly. If prophecy, to portion the faith that you possess. If service, in serving. Or he who teaches, in the act of teaching. Or he who encourages, in the act of encouragement. And he who gives with generosity. I just want to pull there real quick. I'm going to pull over a lot today. This is not speaking about tithing. Tithes are part of God's order. Tithes are part of God's order in Old Testament and New Testament. It's an Old Testament and a New Testament. It's Old and New Testament. Miley would encourage you to read about it. But this is talking about more about the joy that gives beyond the law. It's a power. Generosity is a motive. I've seen some very poor people in the world be some of the most generous people I've ever seen. And I've seen some of the upper 1% wealthy people I know. They won't even validate your parking. Generosity, right? If he who leads with diligence, he who sows mercy with cheerfulness. Love is to be sincere and active. Love is to be sincere and active. Love is to be sincere and active. Sincere and active, the real thing, without guile or hypocrisy. Here's a good one. Hate what is evil. You know, hating stuff is godly. I never realized that for a long time. You should never hate. No, there's stuff he says we're supposed to hate. What am I supposed to hate? Hate what is evil. Okay. Detest. That's a strong word. You know, I didn't put the emoji up because, but it makes me think of the vomit emoji. Blah. Detest. You're like, oh, don't even look at that. I can't even. No. When I was a kid, I learned to love it, but when I was a kid, when my grandmother cooked ham and cabbage, I was outside going, whoa, what are you doing in there, Grandma? You know, that's terrible. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Not just married couples. Devoted to one another. Body of Christ, with authentic brotherly affection, as members of one family, Spirit of God brings unity. Give preference to one another. Remember last week, seek the best for someone else. Give preference and honor. Here's a tough one. Never lagging behind in diligence. I lag behind in diligence sometimes. Did you water the plants yet? No, man, it's midnight. Dang. I'll get them tomorrow. Did you water the plants? No, it's cold out and I'm whipped. Dang. You know what's happening to my plants right now? They're dying. Mm-hmm. So the never lagging behind in diligence, I'm working on. I don't know if you guys have got that button down yet. Aglow, fervent in the spirit. I think I'll just pull over a second here. That aglow made me think if we sang a song last week, Shekinah Glory Come. You know that song? And I think if you're a new believer, like, what are they even talking about? And even some of you have been in church, like, Shekinah Glory, they're talking about. I'll just, you know. The presence of God around the ark, they called it Shekinah Glory. When Moses met with God and he had to come back, talk to people, read about it, right, Miley? They had to cover him with a sheet. Why? Because he was just, you've been with God. You look different. You've been with God, you look different. If you've been with God, you look different. So when you're aglow, you should be have some kind of new glow to us. Like, well, I just served Jesus. Everything sucks, raw eggs. My life is terrible, and I'll probably fall off the cliff tomorrow. But bless the Lord. That's not a glow in the spirit. I don't know if you know that. But that needs to change. Some of us, that needs to change. Well, none. Fervent in the spirit, enthusiastic. How many need more enthusiasm serving the Lord? And I start off like, yeah. And then also I'm like, yeah, I'll make it to church, you know. I'll do that thing God said, you know, later. Remember what it was first like? When you had some enthusiasm about what God did for you. He's looking for enthusiasm again. I don't know. I don't do a married thing. But it's the body of Christ, so it's the bride and the bridegroom. That's why I'm using it. No bridegroom in their world wants to look at their spouse's face and see a lack of enthusiasm for them. I think the church needs to get our enthusiasm back. It's time, right? Enthusiasm. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. There's a reason I'm leading into these. So I, the prisoner for the Lord, so here's a guy serving God, and what's he ends up in prison for it? I would be fussy. There's a lot of things in my life I think I've handled. Mark, I don't know if I can handle prison. Jay, I don't know if I could do it. At a lot of levels. With the Holy Spirit, yes, Lord, don't in prison for righteousness, awesome. But I don't know if I'm like the real calm guy. I'm the guy probably looking to break out all the time. Like, yeah, they keep catching Capozzi. He's got like 58 life sentences. Why? Because he keeps trying to break out. They can't even give him plastic spoons. He's trying to go through concrete, you know? I would have trouble. But here's Paul being used by God to write scripture. So I, a prisoner for the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called. That is to live a life that exhibits. That is, we're called to live a life that exhibits. We're called to live a life that exhibits godly character. You know, I have little people in my life now. You know, I got grandkids. And they're learning that meanness is sin. And their parents pointed out to them, you know, well, meanness, well, where do you find that in the Bible? Well, love is patient, love is kind, love is not rude. So when you're unkind, impatient, and being rude, you're in sin. So we train our children. They're training their kids, right? To know God. I think we need to kind of remember that when God moves in us, we actually are supposed to exhibit what it looks like when he's in us. It's important. That is to live a life that exhibits godly character. Say, live a life that exhibits moral courage. Live a life that exhibits moral courage. One of the things I love you guys. One of the things our culture has a real hard time with, and I feel bad for the young men, especially in the world, but just not young men, is some of y'all need to get rid of for your phone apps and the stuff that blows up on there because it strangles you. Moral courage is hard when you're getting dump after dump after dump of stuff you should be not swiping through. I'm trying to help us. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not looking at anybody. But that will drain your moral courage. Right? The Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. I want to speak in tongues. How about you tap into him for truth and help with your moral courage? Because that's what he wants. That's the fruit of that, right? That's God in us. Say, live a life of personal integrity. Personal integrity. How's your church? Well, my church is awesome. How are you doing? Well, the church isn't doing too great. Aren't you the church? Yeah. I had a pastor, had somebody pull me over and give me a word about the size of our church growing. And I always stresses me out. Because I think of everything that takes, and I'm not that guy. But I do know that my job is not to create sheep. My job is to lead them. And not a shepherd in the world goes home and kisses his wife and produces a sheep. Sheep produce sheep. What am I saying? When God is moving in your life and we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, you're going to draw people to Him. And if we're not, are we exhibiting the Holy Spirit in us? Are we just hermits for Jesus? Are we just, well, you don't know my past. I'll compare past with, let's lay it down. But at the end of the day, God changes that. Well, you don't know what I have to deal with. I could tell you stories in here that will make you cry. Don't worry, I won't say your story. There's not an excuse not to let God's Spirit change us, right? Let's say live a life of mature behaviors. I still have to work on that. And I'd still, you know, I'm still growing up. A life that expresses, well, I'm just stoic, you know, I don't worship God externally. Well, His Word says you should. And it's not easy for me. I'm a back row, back corner, lights off, on the floor worshiper. With none of you here, preferably. I'm just being honest. A life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. Each and every one of us, whether it's Sunday morning, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, should have this attitude. I'm so grateful. Well, the week sucked. Yeah, it did. But God's good. And if God's good, then He deserves a little bit of my loving, right? Because He's my bridegroom. And I don't want Him to think I'm looking disappointed at Him. And I don't want Him looking disappointed at me. That's love, right? Live a life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation with all humility and gentleness, with patience bearing with one another, with patience bearing with one another, with patience bearing with one another. But you don't know. You don't know how Pastor Jody chews with her mouth open. Like, she drive me crazy. You can't eat chicken with her. What are you eating that chicken wing for? Oh, my goodness. No, she's not like that. She's walking in like, don't make me spit my water out. Bearing with one another in love. Uh-oh. Make every effort. Oh, this is get me. I hope it gets you. Got me. Make every effort. Make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Remember that, blessed are the peacemakers? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. I'll say this about peace right now. Peace is not always compromise. Ever compromise on something and your peace was gone because you did? So peace isn't always compromise. But do we live a life as peacemakers? Or are we riling the pot? Because we think something didn't go our way. Should have been done this way. Should have been done that way. Well, the Word also says this. The Word, shut it down. Cut the grass. Come on. Say, make every effort. The church, make every effort with one another. Not Haley making every effort. Pastor making every effort. All of us making every effort. Each individual working together to make what? The whole successful. Right? Each individual working together to make the whole successful. Just as you were called to one hope, one called to salvation. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God in all of us. The great three in one. Who is over all, who is sovereign over all, working through all, and living in all. Now we're getting to the finale. The finale is about to happen. I was just building up. Galatians 5. So far, what we should have learned in this series is God's Spirit wants to be in His people. He wants it expressed. And if it's really God's Spirit, it'll look a lot like love. Actually, look exactly like love. Not about a gift, though there are gifts, and they should be used. And everything should be done decently and in order, right? Galatians 5, 13 through 15. Few, my brothers, were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the sinful nature, worldliness, and selfishness. But through love, serve and seek the best for one another. Serve and seek the best for one another. For the whole law concerning human relationships is fulfilled in this one precept. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, you shall have an unselfish concern for others and do things for their benefit. You know, I try to practice this when it comes to yummy food. I do. And my treasure can be taken away because it's not a big deal. I'm going to share a little thing. Don't go, oh, it's not sweet. It's not sweet. I'm going to lose my treasure as I'm sharing it. Right now, my treasure is being taken out of heaven or something. I'm being shredded. But I want to share you an example. And the only one I have is my own. Okay. Whenever I have some yummy piece of food or something that happened, I save the best piece for her. Every time. The best towel. The best washcloth. The best place to sit. Unless we're in a restaurant, I have to have my back to the mat. I see the exit doors. So maybe I'm not diligent there, but I try to give her the best. I don't always succeed. I'm not perfect. But my intention is that. This word is saying we should be like that to each other. Like the best donut should be the last donut taken while you're out trying to give it to each other. No, you take that. No. That's a maple-based donut. I'll be taking that. Thank you, you know. But if you bite and devour one another in bickering and strife, watch out. Say, watch out. Watch out that you, along with your entire fellowship, are not consumed by one another. I don't know if this is the first time you've ever been in church. But if this is not your first church, have you ever seen it before in the body of Christ? I want to tell you it happens all the time. When I see a big church move going and I start seeing things, I can say it. The pastors do not listen to this. When LifePoint started growing, I started praying. Why? The Spirit of God was moving and I knew there'd be some divisional fractions in the process too. Every time. Wow, why do they got flags over there? Why is pastor doing a second service? Why are we got to wear name tags? Stop fighting with each other. Stop devouring. Stop fussing. God's doing stuff. It's not perfectly done for you. It's not tailor-made church. You are the church. He's trying to tailor-make him in you. If the church don't feel right, work on you. I'm just saying, watch out. We mostly should listen to warnings. Mostly. I say mostly. There's some warnings that go, it's nice out. Let's get out. You know. But especially when God says it. When God says a warning, we shouldn't go, I got this. Lord, trust me. I'm sure I can handle this situation. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk habitually in. The Holy Spirit. Make a habit of getting God's direction in your life. Like every day seeking God's Spirit for, like, Lord, speak to me, show me, work in me. I need you to expose things that are coming up today. I need real insight. And when stuff that looks like you is a trick and it's not, it seems so much like you, but it's not you, I need you to divide that and get me out of there. Actually, grab me by the back of the neck and drag me out of that and put me exactly where you're supposed to be, even if I'm kicking and screaming. What if that was your prayer? Your life would change forever. Habitually, that means make a habit of it. Don't raise your hands if you don't, but you should brush your teeth every day. It should be a habit. You should do it a few times. Just saying. Should be a habit, right? What if you're seeking God and His Spirit became your habit? Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. Because you can seek Him and then hear what He's supposed to do and not do a darn thing about it. Done that before. I'm slacking on my push-ups. And then you will certainly not carry out the desires of your sinful nature, if you're seeking Him, which responds impulsively without regard for God's precepts. When we're doing the best to seek His Spirit daily, we follow through with that, it's really hard to get into a sin problem. It really is. If that's where we're like, we're trying to keep it completely focused, right? It's really hard for us to get off. We'll find ways. We're human. We're flawed. We're not Jesus. But it makes it really hard if we focus up, right? Galatians 5, 17 through 18. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit. Anybody can relate to that?
Yeah.
And the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. Know that too. For these two, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are in direct opposition to each other. Right? This is an easy one for us. We can all agree on this. Right? They're continually in conflict. Don't we know it? But I want that best piece of cheesecake. She don't even like cheesecake. You know? So that you do not always do whatever good things you want to do. Ever have a really good plan and it just didn't do it? Ever go into a conversation like, I'm going to be so chill. I'm going to handle this so well. And you come out foaming at the mouth and screaming like, I didn't do very good there. You know, I wanted to, though. You know, how'd you get suspended, Sean? Well, I yelled at the principal. But I went in chill with my sunglasses on and a good attitude. You probably didn't, but I thought I did. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, not subject to the law, what's that mean? I'm going to give you my interpretation, okay? This is just Pastor Sean with a side note. Essentially, if you're truly being led by His Spirit, you're already be following His desires for you. And He won't lead you into something that's sin. Well, Jesus really shook stuff up because some of the stuff the disciples were trained, this is how you have to serve God. Jesus said, they're missing the point and their hearts are like dead sepulchers or bones or rotted. That's maggot infested law. The truth was that you're supposed to honor God. But I'll tell you, to honor God looks a lot like this. Follow me and I'll show you how to fulfill that law, how the Sabbath is actually supposed to be fulfilled. By following the Spirit. He said, but if you're guided by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law. If we obey His Spirit, then the law is being kept within us. He's not going to go against His Word. Right? Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I am doing so amazing on time, Lord. You're crushing it. Now the practices of, say practices. The practice, something you practice, something you do on a regular basis to get either good at it or just a habit. It's a practice, you know? Practice. The practice of the sinful nature are clearly evident. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me and giving me freedom. Right? Some things. The practice of sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality. There's a massive category. Who wants me to stay there very long? Don't look at me, Pastor. I'm a student of this. I don't know. What are you talking about? I think I got it. Words or cookies? They are sexual immorality, impurity. Someone's getting delivered from impurity this morning. Sensuality, total irresponsibility, lack of self-control. That summarized Sean Capozzi, pre-Jesus, 100%. That's one. That covers it all, doesn't it, Lord? That's pretty inclusive. You could have just put my name on my picture at thy sad estate and go, don't be that guy. That would have scared a lot of people away, right, Harold? Like, don't be that guy. Poster boys for what not to do with your life, right? They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. Well, we don't do that, do we? Nothing gets more time, more focus than God in our life. Our careers don't. Our bank accounts don't. Our spouses don't. Our kids don't. Our jobs don't. Our neighbors, nothing. The Buffalo Bills, the Suns, nothing gets more time than God in my life. So idolatry is not a problem. Anybody? I get a lot of screen time. Does Facebook get more time than God? I'm not trying to step on toes intentionally, but I am trying to step on toes intentionally. Because idolatry is a problem. And we just think it's not sometimes. You know, I don't worship any calves. I don't bow down to no mountain gods. And come on. But remember that time I said pray and you're trying to still get on Xbox Live? Mm-hmm. You know. impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. You know, here comes toes, because this was my life. My grandmother, I loved with all my heart. She was fantastic. She was a gypsy lady, did a lot of raising of me because my mom was 15 and a half having a kid, right? I love my grandma. But every day a practice in our life was, I won't say what she called me because I don't want to hear it from you people, but she would say my name, my nickname, and say, come in here and let's read your horoscope. It's harmless. Is it? It has its roots in sorcery. I'm not saying, oh, I read my thing. I'm just saying people live their lives sometimes by sorcery. Well, you know, should I go out today? Let me just, you know, and they're throwing tea leaves, or they're like, you know, if the rooster, if I hear a dog bark, then I don't know. Like, we live so bound up, we don't call it sorcery, but we live by these weird little things that we picked up in our life to help us make decisions, and has nothing to do with seeking God. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, hostility. You know, it was probably one of my greatest deliverances. I was a guy, you could set me off in a second. I'm serious. Before Jesus, I'd fight everyone in this room at the same time if I had to. I would. Over something stupid that got against my pride or made me look bad or weak or not knowing something before, and I'm hostile. Because hostile solves stuff. No one wants to mess with hostile. Yeah, Jesus is not hostile. His spirit says, you got to stop the hostility, sir. You got to stop living a hostile life. Strife. Sometimes we got to close our mouths and let God speak to us, because maybe we're not the smartest person in the room, and maybe God sees something we don't. Jealousy. I wish I was as, you know, handsome as Jesse. Can't pick on Andrew every week. Man, if I just, man, could you imagine? Pastor Heidi would say, man, whew. Oh, man, if I had Cody's truck, I'd be like, you know, I can list stuff, you know, we all can. Fits of anger, see hostility. Disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness. Riotous behavior. And check this one. And other things like these. It wasn't in the list. I'm safe. Other things like these. Say other things like these. And we know what those other things are that didn't get covered. Like, we didn't cover my thing. Woo! Well, Jesus covering your thing. You know? There's prayer after service. I won't leave us here today. If someone needs forgiveness, it's here for you, because it was here for me. Anybody ever been forgiven? Man, thank God. Whew. Every day. Say it's time to practice things that bear God's good fruit. Excellent. Galatians 5:22. That's where we're going. Now we've purged some things. We realize what hinders the flow of God, that's not the flow of God, that he put in his words that we should be warned of. Let's look at what the fruit of God in our life is supposed to look like, besides the love chapter. That's, remember he said, the greatest picture of my spirit in life looks like 1 Corinthians 13. When you ever go, is the spirit moving in their life? Well, how's their patience? How's their kindness? How's their long-suffering? How's their, ooh, I got some love work to do, Miles. I got some love work to do. Galatians 5:22-24. But finally, the fruit of the Spirit. Finally, we're going to talk about the stuff everyone wants to talk about. The result of his presence within us is love. Love, unselfish concern for others. Man, it's even in Galatians. The result of his presence within us is joy. a better and more positive attitude, Pastor Sean? Anybody need a better and more positive attitude? I definitely do. A better and more positive attitude. Well, you know, no, you can't be Grumpy Gus, Oscar the Grouch, and say, I've got the Spirit of God living in me, because you're not letting him out. And he says it needs to be expressed. You can use that as an excuse, or you can go, man, I'm in sin right there, and I need that change. Why? Because I'm supposed to be expressing something different. The fruit of God in my life doesn't look like that at all. We just talked about it. It's okay, Jake. If my wife is sitting next to me, she'd be getting me too, so it's okay. It's okay. The result of his presence within us is inner peace. No matter the drama, he can make it calmer inside of me. Right? No matter the drama, I don't have to. I could go, okay, Lord, okay. And I had to this week because I had this stuff going on medically that was hard. And I had to go make a choice when I didn't feel like that would be the choice. And I knew what I should do. I didn't feel like it. And it wasn't because I had a bad attitude. Something medically was crashing within me. And I had to, and the only thing that brought me out of the brink was, Father, this is not like you. I need you right now to do in me what only you can do. I need peace when it does not make sense right now. Anybody in any situations that doesn't make sense, you need peace, right? You need peace, right? The result of his presence with us is inner peace. The result of his presence within us is patience. Man, he's got to double down on that. And then there's a little explanation that I had to keep in there. Patience. Not the ability to wait, but how we act while we're waiting. Yeah. I do patience practice by just driving down the trail in the winter. So, yep. I'm going to go 10 miles under the speed limit and I don't care. I'm going to do good sometimes, quarter of the time. I look like Jesus occasionally. The result of his presence within us is kindness. Love will come out of the container it's in. If you have a problem with kindness, ask God what needs to be healed and what's holding you up, because it's not somebody else. It's not what's been done to you. If the Spirit of God is in you, then kindness needs to come out of us. The result of his presence within us is goodness. Goodness. The result of his presence within us is faithfulness. The result of his presence within us is gentleness. That's a good one. Be gentler when speaking the truth, right? We don't always like to hear truth from somebody, and sometimes that's our biggest fault. You got to hear truth from somebody. You have to hear truth from somebody, or you will never, ever change. And if God sends someone who loves you to tell you the truth, if they're not speaking in love, then he needs to tell them that too. Because you can't, well, the truth is, Kaylee, you better buck up. Lee, first of all, don't ever say that, Kaylee, in my presence. Oh. Not take it. I will fight you. Yeah. But if I had to say something to her, I have a relationship with her that I could say, hey, sweetheart, I've noticed you're awful ugly to your dad at the door today. Is something going on with you? Are you okay? Because that's not typically you. It's been happening, I know, a lot lately. Your mom's been crying out in the parking lot. You've been just thrashing them. Are you all right? That's speaking the truth in love. That's nothing she would ever do. But we got to get better at speaking the truth in love. We're good at speaking the truth. Read my Facebook. Truth! I just yelled at a bunch of people, truth. Just trying to help. The Holy Spirit's not in that. The result of his presence within us is self-control. Ooh, I could pull over a long time here. Self-control. Anyone else have any self-control issues at times? Do not put Amanda's brownies in front of me. You can only give one at a time, and then you got to get it to a different room in a secure location. I'd be like, what? Oh, this is only one brownie. Well, that's because it wasn't cut. That's not one brownie, bro. That's one pair of brownies. Shh. You know what I'm saying, Cody? Shh. Self-control, bro. All this, against such things, there's no law. These are things we should be practicing without boundaries. It's like, well, you can't be too gentle. You'll be breaking the law. You can't be too kind. You're being too patient. I'm going to have to give you a ticket, Jody. You know? That doesn't happen. There's no law against those things, right? And those things who belong to Christ, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature. Crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and its appetites. This is an award-winning formula. You ready? His Spirit plus our surrender creates world changers. His Spirit plus our surrender creates world changers, right? You should have a Spirit-filled life. Look at Galatians 5:22, proof of God within us. Let's go to 5:25. Galatians 5:25. If we, claiming to live by the Holy Spirit, the great three in one, we must also walk by the Spirit. We can't say we're Spirit-filled believers and not do anything that's fruitful of the Spirit in our lives. We can't say that. I'm a born-again Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, but I'm mean as snot, I refuse to change, and I'm going to stubbornly do exactly what I want to because I live in a land of freedom, and you can't call this sin because I'm living in the world of grace. Garbage. Absolute garbage Christianity, not truth, a fallacy, and it's killing the church. So is the expecting for people to be perfected too. If we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must walk by the Spirit with personal integrity and godly character and moral courage. You know, I will never recommend somebody come work on your house or do a service for you that I don't believe that of them. They don't have to be saved. I just have to trust that they have these things in their lives. With personal integrity, godly character, and moral courage, our conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit, we must not become conceited. We must not become challenging or provoking one another or envying one another. He ends the fruit of the Spirit with that. Why? Because sometimes as human, we get a lot of fruit, and before you know it gets to our head. And it ferments and makes us drunk on ourselves. Oh, I'm so good. I'm doing so good. Care what I used to be. Oh, you don't know what I used to be. Go ask my buddies. Man, that's what you used to be. And thank God you're changed what you are now, but you're not yet what you're supposed to be. And what you used to be, and think that victory, you're celebrating it so much, you're not growing in what you're supposed to be. And this is the season the church grows into what it's supposed to be. This is the season we really let the Holy Spirit clean house in us, through us, around us, and fill us with the ability to love people like nobody's business. That's what the world needs, a Spirit-filled church. Not a tongue-shouting church out of order, not a prophesied church out of order, not everything's about the miracle crusade. I love those things. And we had a miracle this morning, and that's awesome, and I want to see more of that, but that's not the Holy Spirit by itself, the goal. The goal is to love like God. He said, that's the greatest example of my Spirit in you. And then he broke it all down. If we were all those things to the world, we're all those things to our neighbors. We're all those things to the people that live in our house with us. Imagine how much God would be produced in the earth again today because his bride was meeting with him and acting just like him. So this morning, if you need prayer, whether you've been struggling, you need forgiveness for something, been there. You want more God in your life, and you're ready to do whatever it takes, and you're diving in, I'll pray for you. If you need some kind of miracle, I don't know what God's going to do, but I know what he can do. And he already started doing stuff this morning that I had no part with, just worshiped. So if you need prayer, I'm going to welcome you to come up front, and I want to pray with you. And I'm going to release the church into the new season that you're called to be. Like, this is the new season. This is the new season for you. Filled, set free, overflowing. Man. If you'll extend your hands this way, because I think God's doing something so big right here that it seems like you don't know, but you think it might be small, or you might guess, well, why are they getting prayer? Did Ethan beat someone up last night? No. You don't know what God's doing. And moments like this are the kind of thing that sent me deeper in Jesus to do more and surrender more, because I felt his presence. So this isn't just a casual way to end service. This is a powerful moment that God wants to have. Two or more are gathered. He says, I'll be there. There's a whole room behind these three right now. Dr. Heidi, would you come up and pray as well, please? Thank you. But you know where's a good, decently in mortar moment I'm going to ask you to have this week? I want you to go into your bedroom when no one's around and ask him to have a moment. Just say, Lord, I'm going to ask you for a moment. I want to put some worship on. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to focus only on you, not my fix. I want a moment so you can fix my problem. Not that kind of moment. Just an absolute moment. Can you guys commit to that this week? Have a moment with God. Well, Father, I pray as we this new season out into the world, into their families, their homes. This is the best church, I believe, on the face of the earth, Lord God. I love it here. I love them. And I love what you're doing in us. So, Lord, I pray that no weapon formed against us would be able to prosper. And everything you want to do in us, Father, will be fulfilled for your glory. In Jesus' name, and the church said amen. Amen. I love you all. Please do something good for each other as you leave.